Well, good morning, everybody. It's very good to see you all. Well done. You're the early crew. The next lot. We're going to have two services today, clearly, because you're here at 9:15. It's very nice to see you all. It's very nice to be here preaching at the 9:15. But I have to confess that because I'm doing an all-age service at the next service, there's a slight influence of that in this preach that I'm doing now. Not least because we have a new toy in the church. So, look at the brightness of those colours. Don't be confused. Welcome to our all-age services for later. But I'm going to be using a bunch of pictures, and I'm going to be talking about the whole service as a bit like a meal. And so that's a Korean meal, apparently. And on the way through, there are various pictures that will be shown, which I just have to flip past before I get to the ones I actually want to use for this sermon. So here we go. We're going to sort of have a preparation for worship, and then we're going to have some singing, and then we're going to have some wine. No, well, you'll have to come to the next service to work out what that's about. And there's the Harvest Hullabaloo poster, and here we have I used words which matched with the things I wanted to do, so that's a starter, very unusual starter there, but anyway, it's blueberries and grapes, and then we move on to that. So let me just start with the grapes. Grapes were for generosity. Generosity is what the first reading that we just heard was all about. It talks about giving as sowing, which I don't suppose we normally think of it like. Giving is a seed that we plant. I read Rick Warren, probably not his original words, saying, "Giving is not a debt you owe, it's a seed you sow." Giving is not a debt you owe, it's a seed you sow. So whether it's money or time or helping people in whatever way, we're called to sow generously, and God will ensure that we reap generously. That's the pattern that we're hearing about from Paul here. And if we get that, then it's not surprising if we become cheerful givers. If we are generous givers with the right motivation, we read that God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. There's a lot of alls and everys there. When we let God have the things that are in our hands, things that he gave to us anyway, then he will increase what we have and increase what we have to sow again. He will enlarge the harvest of our righteousness, is what that passage says. He'll increase the good things that we will see as a result of our faithful giving, which is amazing, really. Now, I just want to talk about one part of giving that is an opportunity for us up ahead. And that was, Rachel mentioned that our harvest service is coming soon, a couple of Sundays away now. And the Bishop of Derby has a harvest appeal each year, and this year, as we've done in other years, we're going to give towards that appeal. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about it. The background of the picture there is the sort of place where we're talking about here. It is an appeal to begin a church school in a part of Pakistan which is very near the Afghan border. It's a church school, but it's being set up on the understanding that it will educate not just Christians, but Christians and Muslims, and boys and girls together, which will make a massive impact in that sort of part of the world. It's a part of the world which we hear about far too much in the news. That's Pakistan. If you sort of imagine, you see the bottom corner there, you can see just about that there's a map of India down there, and there Pakistan is next to it. And so the bit of Pakistan that we're talking about is sort of up towards the top, very mountainous, and quite far out of the way. They're called tribal lands around there. And the particular town which everything is happening in is right on the border. So we are given the opportunity to put some money towards a school there. It's a lovely part of the world. You would have thought that this is a glorious place to be. And the views and all of that, fantastic. It could be a real tourist spot. But the trouble is that there's just far too much sectarian violence there. The Taliban are around, and that's a picture of the middle of that town after one of the explosions that happened this year. There have been two this year, almost 100 people killed in different bombs there. So it's a really tough area to live. And Bishop Humphrey, previously bishop around here, has spent 8 years trying to get permission to set up this school. And now he has permission and he has a building, and we are being offered as a diocese the opportunity to get behind that and to see that dream, that possibility come to light. The way to stop people thinking that their neighbour is their enemy because they have a different religion or they're born on the other side of this or that border is for them to meet and get to know each other. And a school which would educate Christians and Muslims together, where boys and girls could be educated, is a really good way at a young age of making people realise that actually they're all part of shared humanity and they needn't be enemies. So that's what we're going to be raising money for in a couple of weeks' time. And there will be envelopes coming around or at the back of church from next week onwards. And it's an opportunity for us to sow a seed which we won't actually see the harvest of directly here because it's a long way away. But still, what an opportunity for us to give towards that. Then there are some strawberries. Strawberries stands for story in my all-age service. And I wondered whether you were all a bit kind of serious for this, but I've decided you're not. So you're going to get part of the story as well. This is a story about a little boy called Aaron. It's not really very biblical. Well, it's one of those times where we weave a story around the Bible. So Aaron wakes up. Actually, it's the wrong end of the school holiday because he wakes up. It's the beginning of the school holiday for him. He's really excited. He wants to go out and help his dad who works on the boats near Galilee in Jesus' time. Let's just place the story in some time as well. And he goes out, looks for dad, and dad's not there. And he goes, Mum, where's dad? Oh, he's gone off round the lake. He's gone to listen to this teacher called Jesus who's doing amazing things and teaching amazing things. Oh, says Aaron, can I go too? And Mum says, no, he's gone already. And anyway, you're a bit little. Oh, really? I'm sure I can go. I'll be all right. No. So and then he can't go. But then he looks on the kitchen table and he sees this bag. He says, Mum, what's that bag on the table? Oh, that's your dad's lunch. Oh, that's your dad's lunch. Oh, Aaron gets the idea here. Oh, Mum, I could go and take Daddy's lunch. All right, then. You can go. So she puts a bit more in the bag. And off he goes to find his dad somewhere around the lake. Now, you know what's coming now. And in the bag are 5 loaves and 2 fish. So off goes Aaron and he walks and walks and walks round the lake. Or not round along the edge of the lake. It's a long lake to walk all the way around. And he goes for ages and ages, and he's getting really, really hungry, and eventually he finds crowds of people and they're all listening to Jesus, and he wanders around, he's looking for his dad. There's just so many people, he doesn't know where to find him, and eventually he finds he's up next to Jesus and his friends, and they're all saying, we haven't got any food, everybody's really hungry. And Aaron's thinking, yeah, I'm really hungry, I could really eat my dad's lunch as well as mine. And then he realises, whoa, this Jesus person, I've heard amazing things about him. Maybe even my lunch could be helpful to Jesus. So he grabs one of Jesus' friends. He says, I've got some food. I can hear you're saying you haven't got any food. I've got some. Do you want my lunch? So the friend goes off and he says to Jesus, this boy here, he's just given us his lunch. But I don't suppose that's going to go very far between all these people. Well, says Jesus, thank you very much. He says, get them all to sit down. And then, while Aaron's looking and he's thinking, that's only 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, Jesus prays and then he starts to give the food out to the disciples. And amazingly, as he does so, something happens. Where Aaron just had 5 loaves and 2 small fish, then suddenly there's just loads and loads of loaves and loads and loads of fish. And in the end, there's enough for everybody to have what they need for lunch, and there's more left over. In fact, so much more left over that they pick up 12 baskets full of leftovers at the end of it all. Now I've got to fold these away. Yes, thank you, Dawn. Well spotted. So there. Now, a fun fact is that this little boy only actually appears in John's Gospel. The other Gospels don't mention the little boy, but I'll come back to that in just a bit. If we're in the morning, so in the next service, we would then have some water for worship, and then we would have some rolls, which were bread for Bible, and then we're on to the main course. And of course, in this story, the main course has to be fish and chips and mushy peas, because it's a fish story, isn't it? So there's lots of things in this story. And there's a sort of main bit. You know when you have meat and veg? The main bit is the meat, but the veg is also really important. Well, in this case also, there's a sort of main meat, but I don't want to miss the veg as well, or I don't want to miss particularly the peas and the chips. So we're going to start with the peas. They look lovely, don't they? Really mushy peas. I suppose I could have found some really fresh-looking peas straight off the field 2 hours into the bag or something. But there's mushy peas for you. Peas of peace. Okay. So the disciples and Jesus were so, so busy. That's what we read. And Jesus says, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And actually, it's so good to hear Jesus saying that. It's okay to need to get some rest. It's okay to stop when we get overdone. Jesus would say, get some rest. He wouldn't say, pull your weight. He wouldn't say, just get on with it. He wouldn't say, you should be able to cope. These are the things that we say to ourselves. But we should remember that Jesus said to his friends, come away with me and get some rest. If you look in the Gospels, you'll be amazed by how many times Jesus goes off on his own or with his disciples, and quite often when it says on his own, it turns out that he then turns to the disciples who are just there, so it's like on their own, and gets to quiet places, gets some rest, goes for walks, things like that. Mark's Gospel, which is the one we've just heard, is the rushingest Gospel. Mark is always talking about immediately this and then suddenly that. And actually even Mark records lots of times when Jesus slows down, where Jesus says, come and get some rest, like it was here. So let's learn from that. Jesus took time aside. Jesus got rest. Jesus wanted his disciples to get rest. It's important that we have that rest and that peace. God wants that for us. We need that. But of course, this time it didn't quite work out. And there's another side to that which we can learn from as well. Even though it didn't work out big time, they were going off to get some peace, and then 5,000 men and how many other children and women, who knows, were there. But even though it so badly didn't work out, what an amazing story all the disciples and everybody there had to tell after this. A story of God providing. So when it works out that we get peace, that's great. But when it doesn't work out, when the needs that God knows that we have are not met because of more busyness of life or because of conflicting needs of other people, then even then we should look out for what God can bring that is good, even though the situation is not what we would first have liked, and in a sense what God would like for us, to be working from a place of rest. So there's your peas of peace. And now we've got chips. Chips of compassion. Yeah, that's so cool, that one. Jesus had lots of compassion. Find me another, no, don't say compote or something. I was trying to find another word a bit like compassion, but I gave up because fish and chips, there we go. Jesus had lots of compassion. He was trying to get away for a rest, that's what we've just said. And they were desperate, there wasn't even time to eat. And so they just get to the other end, and there's all these people. And when he saw the crowds, we don't hear about him going, oh, I can't believe it. Why didn't we go the other way down the lake? He has compassion. He sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. And so he begins to teach them many things, not just, let me just teach you a bit and then go away. He teaches them many things, even though he was tired. I think maybe there's a link back to the first reading that we had. Maybe this is Jesus deciding to sow generously. And his Father gave him what he needed. In all things at all times, having all that we need, we may abound in every good work. Well, in a sense, his Father gave Jesus the ability in that situation, tired as he was, to, at all times, at that time, having all that he needed, giving him what he needed for that moment, he abounded in more good works. And this is how it can work when we hear God's call to do something. And I think it's important. When we hear God's call, when we have courage, when we step out, God will provide. He'll provide for us as individuals. He'll provide for us as a church. But that's not just every time we see something that's difficult and think, oh, surely that must be God because it's really difficult. Actually, this is when we really hear God's call to us, which is why it's so important that we pray and try and work out what God's calling us to. He will provide when we are doing those things that he's called us to. Though sometimes we get an idea into our heads and then we find ourselves running a bit dry, and maybe that's because God hasn't actually called us to that. When God calls, he provides. Look at the disciples in that situation. Maybe they didn't quite have so much compassion. Send them away, they say. Or feed them? You've got to be kidding. That would cost a fortune. Are we supposed to feed all that lot? Well, it might have been a lack of compassion, or it might have been that they hadn't yet grasped what Jesus could do. And he could do through them in the end. So let's pray that we learn that as well. We learn to dare. And in a sense, that's the main course here. So we're onto the fish now. It's a very nicely fried piece of fish, that one. This is about giving our loaves and our fishes to Jesus. This links right back to January. This links back to the time when Anne Edmonds was standing here speaking on behalf of Links International. And she actually used that same gospel reading. And she had noticed a particular bit. And she stopped in the middle of what she was saying and sort of went on to this aside. She said, this is just a thing, but I want to say it because it might be for you as individuals, it might be for you as a church. And she was looking at the disciples who say, send the people away. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And of course they go, whoa, half a year's wages wouldn't manage this. And so he says, what bread do you have? What do you have? And Anne pointed out that in the Living Bible, it actually says, what do we have? Go and see. And she felt this was something important for us to listen to as individuals, in our own lives, maybe one of us here particularly today as well, and as a church. What do we have? Go and see. She said, don't be limited by what you consider to be poor resources or yourself not being good enough or able enough. Go and see what you have and bring it to Jesus, and then see what Jesus can do. And just offered that back in January. Those who were here last week will know that Marion preached with a different passage from the Bible that's been, God's been getting to her on that passage in the last months. And that's to do with Moses having a staff in his hand. Jesus, God saying to him at the burning bush, what is that in your hand? And in a sense, we're being asked as a church, what is this? What do we have in our hands? And we're being asked as individuals, maybe, what do we have in our hands for the things that we're dealing with now? So what do we have to offer Jesus? This is where I like the difference between John's version and the other versions. In John's version, we might, at the end of that story, think, there was that little boy. And the little boy was the one who said, I've got this in my hands. What can you do with that, Jesus? So for each one of us, there may be things that we have in our hands, like that little boy, that we need to dare to say, what can you do with this, God? What can you do with this for how I can, for the things I'm doing in my life, or the things I might help with or get involved in? I've got this. What can we do? What can you do with this? But Matthew, Mark and Luke, this story is in all the Gospels, don't focus on the boy. They sort of talk about the disciples, the team, because actually it was quite a brave thing for all the disciples to go off and go, well, we've got one boy here with just five loaves and we've just got this small amount of stuff. Shall we go and talk to Jesus about that? It may have been the boy who provided the food, but actually the whole disciples said, what have we got? They were sent off to find what we've got. They were the ones who had to say to everybody, go and sit down in groups of 50s and 100s. And at that point, as we heard in the story, there's still only 5 loaves and 2 fishes. This is something everybody's doing rather bravely. I can imagine if you were an unbrave disciple, you'd be going, no, I'm just staying at the edge here. I'm going to stand behind Jesus. I'm not going to get those people to sit down because this is going to look really silly in a moment because there's only 5 loaves and 2 fish and there's 5,000 people. We're all being encouraged together to say, what have we got? And what can God do with that? And it may be that some things come from individuals. It may be that some things are part of who we are as a church or a group of people, some in the church, some not in the church, who have something that they're really passionate about. In the things that God's calling us to, he will use the gifts and the passions that we've got. What have we got in our hands? What do we have that we can give to Jesus? As a church, we are getting to the stage where we're saying, watch this space, because in the next weeks, we'll be bringing to you the things which we feel are the particular directions of this time. There's always lots of things that we can do, but we need to focus down on some things and draw what's happening already into more focus and then develop it with Jesus' help, bringing what we have and seeing what Jesus can do with it. And as individuals, our lives have different things that are going on at different times. If we bring the things that we have, if we say this is all it is, it's amazing what Jesus can do and how he can provide for us and provide for others through what we bring. And I noticed that actually Jesus says, how many loaves do you have? And when they come back, they say, well, we've got these loaves, or we've also got these fish. Well, sometimes the thing which we think is the most needed is obvious, but there are other things we bring which God is also able to use. He didn't ask for fish, but they came along with fish and that was all put to good use. Sometimes there'll be things we haven't thought about yet that God will be able to use. So I know that we as a church are generous already, and I know that that's something which we've learned over years as individuals and as a church. But I do also hope that in a new season now, each time, you know, things are new all the time with God, in this season now, we will learn all the more what it means to look at what we have already and to bring it to God and to say, this is what it is. It may not seem much, but what can you do with it? I hope we will learn more and more to give courageously and generously to God. And I hope that we'll find that our faith grows as God multiplies what we bring. The seed is sown and the harvest is great, thanks to all that God can do. And always remembering that we're called to work from a place of rest. That is one of the things of this story that comes with all the giving. It's also the receiving of rest that God wants for us. I'm going to finish now just by reading the last verse of the hymn that we've just sung. Read it as a daring prayer for us as a church. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be ever only all for thee. Lord, we pray that we as a church will be able to pray those words. And we thank you for your promise of blessing. Amen.